Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Yes, these words he says are true. Welcome. This is the Midnight Garden. I'm Mudto Sasquatch, also known as the Uncommon Shaman. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is my revamped radio program, revamped for the second time. Third generation Mudto Sasquatch radio program. See if I can get it right this time. I'm trying to make... I'm trying to make the show more structured. That's not correct. I don't want to make the show more structured. I want it to have more of a direction, and a direction that's discernible during each show, and not just, oh, I came back and 6 months later I can see where he was going with that. So my strategy has been to pick a topic for each show, and this, of course, puts me under a tremendous amount of pressure because I have to think of something to say that's on the topic, and I'm sitting here looking at my little my computer interface with Blog Talk here that I set up. We have to set up to do these shows, and I entered four keywords. This is if people are searching for the show under for tags or what they call them. I was, back in my day, we called them keywords. Now they're tags, I guess. Now they're tags, and I had to give. I didn't have to, but they're tags. You give tags, and supposedly people who are looking for a show on a certain topic will search, and they'll find your show based on that. So these are the tags that I put down for this week's show. First one is shaman, which I always put down, and then the other ones are generally something about the show. So here's how the tags read: shaman, food, waste, plan. I said, I wish I had looked at that a little bit more closely because it kind of sounds like I'm going to say something I have something entitled the Shaman Food Waste Plan, like a book or a lecture series that I'm going to go out and do. Yes, welcome. It's Mudto. This is the Shaman Food Waste Plan. Can everybody hear me in the back? It's not going to be anything like that at all. I don't do anything. If you've ever listened to the show, I don't do anything that formal. These are ideas that have occurred to me, and I'm trying to. I always did the show just based on ideas that occurred to me, and my hope was that my intentions would align with spirit, and that the words would go out into the interwebs and find somebody who needed to hear them. I thought that I might be able to help that process along by grouping ideas with a similar character into half an hour increments. So I would have a topic and talk about that mostly. I can't talk about anything, one thing for half an hour. There's just no way to do it. So I picked this topic of waste. It was on my mind, particularly food waste, because I've been beating myself up about it with good reason. I had been working it. Something I've been working on ever since I've been on my own. I think I know my. My second wife was a stickler for preventing food waste, and we always worked very hard on it. And I think once I got out of the marriage, it's one of those things you start. There are certain things that your spouse sort of required you to do, and maybe one intentionally abandons those things once the spouse. I don't do that anymore. She's not here. So food waste is sort of my idea of managing or consciously managing and putting attention on the idea of preventing food waste is something that's come and gone in my adult life. And there's a certain amount of shame that's attached to it, that you're being shamed by my wife, by other people, for the amount of food that I threw away. And it is, I feel that there aren't many things that I think of as an authentic sin. And I was influenced in this by Chief Iggy, who said that he felt it was a sin to waste food. And I, in thinking about it, I had to agree with him. And I don't have a long list of things that I think are authentic, you know, affronts to the spirit or whoever, whatever it is that's in charge. I think wasting the stuff that's been stuff that comes out of the ground for us to eat, the stuff that's been provided, so that we can continue to live. And, you know, and there was a time when there weren't that many people on the earth, and you could pretty much waste whatever you wanted to waste. But that time has long since passed. We can't waste these resources the way we once did. And when I'm taking my garbage out to the dumpster, and I'm noticing how much of it is, well, first of all, in each individual bag, how much of it, I'd say 90% is probably food and food packaging, other than other stuff, not nearly. If I'm going to attack the amount of trash I'm putting into the dumpster, that's the place to start, because that's what it all is, food and food packaging. The one that disturbs me the most, I guess what sort of got me back on this kick, if you want to call it that, is wasting produce, particularly green stuff, because I'm not a big one for eating green stuff, but every once in a while I'll get a wild hair and say, okay, I'm going to eat, I'm going to have a salad with dinner every day, and I'm going to eat produce, and I go out to Whole Foods or someplace like that, and I get a big old head of California iceberg lettuce, and I eat maybe two leaves of it, and the rest of it ends up going in it. And that is a sin, because first of all, I mean, it's something that's given to us to sustain us. Someone else could have made better use of it, and someone somewhere worked very hard to produce that lettuce for someone to have. I violated that trust isn't the word I want. What's the word that I want? I'm almost spitting in that person's face, aren't I? The people who worked to create that food, and I guess just into the dumpster, you know. One time I thought I would find a forest somewhere, and my produce that I didn't eat, which again the thing is, I'm only one guy, I can't eat all this lettuce. Yeah, I could. It would be difficult for me to get through a good sized head of lettuce in 7 days, which is how much time you have from the time you put it in your time you put it in your refrigerator, and that's when the bacteria start to grow, and you've got 7 days before it becomes lethal. So, and it's because six days, 23 hours, 59 minutes, it's fine. At 7 days, 0 hours, 1 minute, it will kill you instantly. So you got 7 days to get through whatever it is you have in your refrigerator. What's gone in there, if you put it in there on Tuesday, next Tuesday, it's got to come out no matter what. So I figured I would go if there was this forest or someplace that I could go to with all sorts of fuzzy little creatures who would like some California iceberg lettuce. So I go out and take my rancid 7-day-old poisonous lettuce, and I take it out to the forest, because we all know fuzzy little creatures can eat things that kill human beings. And that's what I'm saying, to make it a little bit more serious, I thought, well, I'll find a place that I can get rid of my produce, so and sort of assuage my conscience. At least somebody, one of God's creatures had a shot at it. And the only time I ever actually did that was I had a watermelon. And this watermelon that had come, I can't remember. It was when we had our little food stand, Chief Iggy and some friends, and his brother and myself. It was right near where I used to live, and Iggy's restaurant was around the corner, and his brother's restaurant was around the corner, and they had all the proper permits, so we could put up a tent on the sidewalk, and we would get stuff. I think it must have come from local farmers. I believe it did come from local farmers, and some people came with stuff they had made jams and jellies and so forth. And we had, you know, a nice little mini farmer's market, you know. And one time they had some seedless watermelon, and I something overtook me. I don't know what, because I don't really like watermelon, but I bought one, and it sat in my shelf. It was something they had put in there because there were no shelves in the kitchen, and it was just like a I don't know, it wasn't even a bookcase, and it wasn't a shelving unit, but it was just thing. It had a horizontal surface and you could put things on it, and that I don't even want to think about how long that watermelon sat on there, but it's clearly, you know, well past the point where it was fit for human consumption. Now, I used to live very near to a bike path that was down by the river, and there was trees and so forth. And I admired this place. It was a great example to me of what's called permaculture, which is where you put together an agricultural sort of installation that's more or less self-sustaining, and you utilize the patterns within nature. You can see how nature feeds itself, and this was a perfect example, because I go and walk through this woods, and you know, nobody does anything, nobody feeds anything in the woods, you know, nobody really. Every once in a while, somebody comes and hauls dead wood out of it. Other than that, because you can't have a fire because there's houses right there. So I mean, it's very natural. It's the way nature intended, and you can look and you can see, here are the patterns. This is how nature does it. And then you can take those patterns and you can substitute things that grow things that you can eat. And this gave me it's an amazingly energetic experience for me to go into that woods. So I went into the woods with my watermelon. I found a good spot and I just heaved it. I mean, I'd never done this before. It is so. What's the word I want? Oh man, it was fun to throw that watermelon. Okay, without holding up the show, gave that watermelon and melon as big of a pitch as I could. And I'm not, you know, I'm not incredibly strong, so it didn't go very far off of the path, and it struck a downed tree limb that was on the ground, and it split in half. And it was just such a satisfying feeling. To break that watermelon and not have broken it where it was gonna mess anybody up. I thought, well, now I've made it easier for the squirrels and such to get to that watermelon. And I was just thinking about this before I went on the air. So I'm wondering, because people always used to criticize me for feeding grapes to my dog. I guess you're not supposed to do that. Now I talked to my vet. This is years ago. The dog's been dead for more than 10 years now. But she lived to be 16, so I don't think we're going to blame this on the grapes. But she liked the grapes. It's not like we fed her grapes every day, but every once in a while you throw her some fruit, and she liked grapes and some other kinds of fruit. And I'd written a piece not the Humane Society, because they don't run shelters, whatever the shelter was where I had adopted her years before. And I had written this piece, and they saw it on the internet, and they asked if they could use it in their fundraising letter. And then I got a letter from somebody who had read it in the fundraising letter and said, you shouldn't feed your dog grapes. So, well, it's a little late now, but she actually thought I should change that if I was showing this thing around, because then people might be tempted to feed their dogs grapes or think that it's okay. You know, I talked to my dog's vet and begged him on a number of – I won't say a number – at least two or three occasions, begged my vet to tell me what can I feed my dog and what can I not feed my dog, and he refused, put his foot down and refused to tell me. Now, if there is some plant or some substance that's lethal to dogs, I mean, shouldn't he have been willing to tell me about that? But anyway, I mean, the one I know that I believe is poinsettias, but I mean, if there's something that's going to be poisonous to you, I mean, I think animals have instincts for that, but you don't know really do you depend on that to save the dogs? Is the dog going to know, especially a domesticated dog, is the dog going to know how to save his life? What is this? I'm going to make an aside here. I've noticed this ever since I've been living in this apartment for 2 years, and there's just this grit that comes from somewhere. You come home, you clean up the apartment, and I go out to work, and I come home, and there's just grit that has come. I don't know where it comes from, the vents. I mean, that would be a pretty good guess, I suppose, but just always. And one of those pieces of grit was on my mouse pad, And I went to brush it away, and it's created some sort of permanent scar on my mouse pad. So I always have that to remember that piece of grit by. It concerns me because many years ago I lived in an apartment where they had a problem with the furnace. The furnace wasn't burning gas properly, and what happens is you get like little flecks of black, like carbon that's been reduced from the fuel, and that's bad because it means you could also be getting carbon monoxide in your house, and you don't want carbon monoxide in your house. So every time I see this grit, but it isn't the same thing, It's so I don't know. I just had a grit experience there. I thought I would share that for you. So yeah, more than halfway through it, I really haven't even talked about what the topic is, which is the waste plan again. And if I'm gonna go on the road with this, I'm going to do my Steve Jobs and put that headphones on my head, the headset on and talk to all the people in Carnegie Hall about the Shaman Food Waste Plan. Maybe that'll be the next title of the show when I revamp it in another year. So we'll call it the Shaman Food Waste Plan. Anyway, so what do I do? I mean, I've discussed how I don't like the fact that I waste so much food. Well, what the hell am I going to do about it? Because obviously I got to change some aspect of my behavior, because I've been trying to do this for 30 years and it hasn't had much of any kind of a permanent long-term effect. Anyway, so the purpose of food is to be eaten, correct? I'm right in that. You have the food, so and these things always sound they sound very simple. They sound trite. Really, it's how they are, but it's a member of understanding those ideas clearly and then applying them. I don't think it's possible. It's very difficult anyway to apply an idea that you don't understand clearly. So a good way to understand it clearly is to state it, to reduce it to words. And the words are don't prepare more food than I'm going to be able to eat in 7 days, because it's going to sit in the refrigerator. Unless I'm going to freeze it, you run out of room in your freezer pretty quick. But I think as a general rule, you're not going to prepare anything that I can't eat in 7 days. So this requires me to go over to create this thing I've always resisted all of my life, drug my feet about on this idea. People told me I should do it. Nope, I'm not going to do that. Having a meal plan. Knowing what I'm going to eat, project that forward probably a week in time, and then use that to guide my meal selection choices, my food selection choices when I'm out there. And I'd use the word prepared. Produce isn't prepared; it's ready as soon as you get it. So once your produce goes into mine, it's because I'm who I'm talking about. When I put produce into that refrigerator, the 7 day clock has started. Now I'm going to talk to some of my friends down at the CSA. We have one here in my little town inside the big city, and I have some information on them. They keep emailing me, and I'm afraid to buy anything from them. That's the worst. Is when I get that thing. I talked about that nice big head of California iceberg lettuce. It's actually worse when I get it from the CSA people here. And then did I say this already? I'm getting a sense of deja vu as I say this. Yeah, I'm taking there's something that I bought from them, something I bought from my people like three blocks down the street who grow this stuff, and they bring me a nice big head of lettuce that I end up throwing more than half of it away, and now not only am I doing it's not some guy out in California anymore, it's somebody right here, so that makes me feel extra bad. So if I'm going to get involved in this, which really, I don't. If I decide I don't want to get involved in buying the produce, that there are other ways I can help them. I can volunteer and so forth. But let's say that I'm going to buy from them. I take it as a sort of a special responsibility to utilize that food to the best of my ability, because it's been growing. Talk about buy local. That's the best locals you can get, unless I grow it myself. Which is again the thing that we ought to be doing that. And I think that it's at some point. Many, many more of us are going to be doing that. I don't have the facility to do it myself because we have there's like 24 people. I think there's 24 apartments if I've counted correctly, and at least one person in each apartment. It is fully booked, again, if I understand correctly. And there's just a small – there's no front yard. We just have a sidewalk and a street, and then some green space, a very little bit of green space in the back. Basically, we are prohibited from digging in that dirt. It's in our lease. We're not supposed to dig around back there. That might be something to work on. You have some sort of system of garden plots out there. There's also a abandoned building across the street from us, and then the next one down the street is that restaurant that I liked so much that closed down, and they have some green space next to their parking lot. There's lots of veggies that could be grown there. But anyway, I'd started to say about the plan, because I've got myself down under 10 minutes and I haven't talked about the plan. So this is suspense. I'm building the suspense until I get to the plan. I talked about it. Is anything, nothing, you know, if it goes into the fridge, it's got to be used up in 7 days. So I have to construct my grocery buying plan to account for that. Don't buy things that you're not going to use up in 7 days. And this is going to require me to be more vigilant than I'm used to being when I go to the grocery store. Listen to this revelation here. Generally, the driving force for me is what I get at the grocery store is how many gas points I need. If I'm coming, I got to put gas in the car, and gas prices have been high here just lately. You know, I'll go and I'll buy all kinds of stuff I really don't need, so I can jack up the amount of gas points I can get. And so now I got, you know, I try and concentrate on things that can go, you know, dry goods and things like that can go and can stay in the cabinet for like a year, you know, a can of soup or something. But then, you know, you get the perishable stuff too, and sometimes I just don't. I bought so much of it, and then it sits in there, and you get to the point where you can't. And leftovers is a bad thing too. I guess maybe that's it. I'll circle back to that. The things I've put in the fridge in the past have been leftovers, and then I don't eat them because I don't like leftovers. I'd rather in any case go out to a restaurant and order food. Now, at this point, that's really not possible because I'm not making enough money to be able to live that restaurant life that I would prefer to live. Well, that just gives me all the more time and all the more, reason to modify my grocery shopping habits and my refrigeration habits. But I've been noticing that. You're noticing how much of the produce is especially going into the dumpster, and kind of funny smells coming out of the refrigerator now, and I haven't quite been able to track down. I think it just needs to be cleaned completely. I need to empty the refrigerator out and just get in there with some cleaner and make it a good place, make it a good home for the food that I'm storing so diligently. So it's the food plan, the shaman food waste plan is really a grocery plan. It's a food preparation plan. It's a prevention of waste. Kind of the waste plan kind of implies that it's a plan for the waste. It's not that at all. It's a plan to manage the things that create the waste, that become the waste. So you don't waste it. And here's another weird thing that goes into thinking sometimes. You know, if I don't produce enough trash, I like the trash bag to be full. And so that means sometimes I wait longer than I should to get the trash out. And I'm not going to describe this for you, but I have paid the price for that more than once. So I've started. Often I use just shopping bags, which I have more of those than I really want. I have the cloth, the canvas bags that I can use for that. But sometimes you forget them. You just forget to take them with you. So you get the. Sometimes it's just more convenient to have those plastic, those horrible, terrible, awful plastic bags that are making things so bad for our aquatic friends. And I keep seeing on the internet have been made illegal in some places. It's sort of entertainment section of the internet because there's certainly not a lot of news happening there. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, I guess you would have expected that. What would the PowerPoint of this presentation look like? World's shortest PowerPoint. Look, just pay attention to what you're preparing and putting in your fridge. Now, I had something happen today, and this is just something you're going to have to, something I'm going to have to be, you know, more vigilant about. Earlier today, I was making some mashed potatoes out of the pouches, out of the packets, and I made a mistake, and I miscalculated the amount of water I needed, and I had way too much water in there, so I had basically mashed potato soup. And so my choices were, you'll leave it that way, or maybe try to boil it down. I did actually try to do that once, and the results were not very good. Or just put in another pouch of mashed potatoes and have a lot more mashed potatoes, well, twice as much anyway. So I don't. And what's happened in the past when things like that have happened is I've tried to eat it all. I tried to stuff all that stuff into my mouth, into my body, and then I would just throw the rest away. Today I said, no, and this is the first day. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. I'm going to do this right. So I parted it out. I portioned it out, and I didn't quite get it right because there's supposed to be 4 portions per pouch, so 2 pouches should have been 8 portions, and I ended up with 7. So I put a little bit more in each portion than I probably should have, and I ate one. And then I put the other 6 into little individual containers and put them in the refrigerator, which means that the clock has started. It's Friday the 21st, so on Friday the 28th, I have to be done with all of those mashed potatoes, or else there's going to be waste. What that means is I have to have a serving of mashed potatoes basically every day between now and next Friday. And again, leftovers isn't something I do very well, especially sort of this repetitive, doing the same. I like to have something different every day, but, you know, this is... It's not like it's a horrible thing. It's not like it's something I can't eat. And it's not like I have to eat a whole lot of it. It is in a nice little container. I can take it to lunch with me for this job I'm doing, this temporary job. I have to take my lunch with me because there's not enough time. They don't give you enough time to go out and get lunch. So I can take the little bit of mashed potatoes with me and heat them up and have that. And just have the discipline to say, look, you're going to have mashed potatoes today, and it's not horrible. Mashed potatoes aren't horrible. Well, some of my nutrition friends would say that it is. Mashed potatoes, especially mashed potatoes for a from a pouch, are, you know, not what you want. But hey, what are you gonna do? I've got okay. Who is that? I wonder. Okay, I know who that is. I'm sorry, I get distracted. I check on Facebook to see if anybody is sending me anything about the show. It's not about the show, but it's about a photograph from my daughter's wedding album. My daughter got married a couple of weeks ago, and I posted a picture that she sent me of her and her new hubby, along with me and my brother and my mom. And a couple of people have gone ahead and liked that. So that's good. That's good. I like to be liked. So we're inside the 2-minute warning. What can I say about this? I think this plan, this shaman food waste plan, is definitely going to revolutionize the world. Well, probably not, but it will revolutionize the world one garbage bag at a time, one of my garbage bags at a time, actually, because this is my plan. This is how I'm going to get better and feel better about myself and what I'm doing, is to have this, have the discipline to just not do this thing that's upsetting me, to not produce this heavy amount of waste that's making me unhappy. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another topic, and, go out there and see if you can not generate as much trash, okay? Till next week, have a – well, this doesn't make any sense at all. Why don't I just say what I usually say? Have a pleasant good evening.